All right, now let's continue here. Now, for your information, if you don't have it, we have a book that is called The Seven General Epistles. And let me just explain a little bit about that, which is this. After we got done with the book of John, this was about 1991, we went through the King James, and I explained that the English from the Greek means this and that and the other and so forth. So when we got done, I asked the brethren, I said, well, what do you want to do? He said, oh, well, let's study some more verse by verse. So this was my first shot at translating. I said, okay, how about if I do a study translation and we'll start through the book of James? So I did that. And then we went verse by verse by verse through the book of James. Got done with that, and I said, well, let's go to 1 and 2 Peter. All right. Did 1 and 2 Peter. How many remember those study translations you got? Okay. You know, the wide column or the narrow column and the wide margins? Okay. That's all in a book called the Seven General Epistles now. Okay. So then we did 1 and 2 Peter, and then, oh, well, we got to do 1, 2, 3 John. Then there's Jude. So we ended up with 79 studies out of these five epistles, or seven epistles, rather. Hour and a half studies, verse by verse by verse by verse by verse. So if you want that, you can get that at no cost. I think we have most of the sermons now digitized from cassette. And let me tell you what a big job it is to do nearly 2,000 sermons from cassette to CD, from analog to digital, and to clean it up. Because I had no idea we'd do this. We had no idea. We just had a small congregation of 12 people. You know, we decided, well, the best thing for us to do is keep our noses in the Bible. You know? And if God wants to add more people to us, fine. We're not going to go out and say, oh, you got to follow us, you know, we're the greatest thing that has ever been. No, we'd been through that a couple times, so we just said, hey, whatever God wants, God wants. You know, that's it. So that's how it developed. Then, we were running out of harmonies, so then I had to do Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then got the information on how they were just corrupting the Bible so much, so I said, well, got to translate the rest of it. So that's what happened. But I never did set out and say, oh, in my career as a minister, I want to, and this year do that, and this year do that, and this year do the other thing. And by the way, I want to translate the whole Bible. Now, that's really my goal, see? I had no clue, see? And after we got the New Testament done, different ones said, well, you got to do the Old Testament. You got to do the Old Testament. I said, well, I don't know enough about Hebrew to really do it. I do know the Greek, and I can do the Greek. That's not a problem. So that's when we got together with Michael Heist to do the Old Testament. And he also was a graduate of Ambassador College, same year that I was. And so we were able to put together the Old Testament then. Now we have the Bible. And I'm sure there are going to be some people who say, well, who does Fred Kohler think he is to do the Bible? Well, really nothing, you know. But when I look at what all the experts do and how they mess it all up and change it, if they can't be honest enough to translate it correctly, why are we getting these miserable translations of the Bible? Okay? So I don't look at myself as some great thing because I have done it. I look upon it, why wasn't it done with the billions of dollars that the church had? When they had the money and the time and the expertise and the ones to do it. Which Dr. Dorothy, who taught me the New Testament Greek, I asked him, I said, well, how come they, because he kept encouraging me to translate. I said, well, how come that this big church here with all of this money, $140 million a year, and one year it was $200 million, and you add it all up through the years, and they probably had $4.25 billion through all those years, you know, why didn't they do it? He said, because it was an argument as to who would get credit. So I didn't presume to take it upon myself to do it. I just saw that the need was there, and I did it for study translation so the brethren could understand. Are we not to preach the word and preach the truth and do those things? Wouldn't that help? So that's why I did it, see. But nevertheless. Okay, 1 John 3. There's an awful lot here in 1 John 3, and I'm not going to cover the worst translated verses in the New Testament because they're here in 1 John 3, and I've done that a couple times on some other sermons. But let's go to 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what glorious love the Father has given to us. Now this tells us our purpose of our calling and the first resurrection. See, don't confuse that the second resurrection is going to be exactly like the first, because it's not. They won't have to fight Satan because he'll be put away. They will be taught by us as kings and priests, you see. So the first resurrection is the superior resurrection. And please keep that in mind, because it puts us in a direct family relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, and all of those who come through the millennium will be the children of the bride in Christ together, just like we are the children of the Father today. And that's when Jesus will become an everlasting Father, when those who come through the millennium under the millennial reign in the kingdom of God. See? So, here we have direct from God the Father, as I explained earlier. Behold, what glorious love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. Now, that's something. We read about us. We read about being one together, right? Yes. Now, there are two words that are translated children in the New Testament. One is weos, which is also son, can be translated children. And this means any offspring. Okay? There is another one called, the noun is called techna. Now, techna means your own begotten and born children. That's why where the King James says that we have an adoption, that's not correct. The word there means sonship, a special relationship with God, God the Father and Jesus Christ, that no one who is not in the first resurrection will participate in the same way. Okay? The techna, because we receive the Spirit of God, the Father, and Christ in us. The children of God, for this very reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but it was revealed a little later. But we know that when he is manifested, we shall be like him, because we shall see him exactly as he is. So that's why, as I was talking to a group back in Baltimore, we have a group that is a Jamaican group that went from Sunday keeping to Sabbath keeping, and we sent them Bibles and all the books and everything. And I was talking to the pastor of that church, and he told me the things that they had gone through and what he had experienced and so forth. And I said to him very, very directly, I said, we don't want to get hung up on racial issues, because you need to understand that at the resurrection, there will be no race, okay? We're all going to shine like the sun, correct? OK? Okay? And besides, every race and color has various degrees of lightness and darkness within their own race. So don't get hung up on the physical, see? It is the spiritual that is important. Now, there are problems among races in the world, and there are problems with different people marrying, whether interracial or not interracial. You, who are the same, are you free of problems? No. See? So let's keep that in mind. We are the children of God. See? Now notice what this is supposed to do for us, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. How do you purify yourself? Through repentance, through prayer, through study, through loving God, loving each other, doing the things that God has told us to do, keeping his commandments in the spirit. See? Now, let's come over here and see something that is very important concerning love. Verse 18. My little children, we should not love in word. Just to say, I love you, but you don't mean it. Nor with our tongues to just express it. Rather, we should love in deed and in truth. No hypocrisy, no dissimulation, none of that sort of thing, see? Love in deed and in truth. See? That's why when people come, and I've heard it said here of this group, and I'm sure that Lawrence and Virginia set the example here of loving the brethren, taking care of them, that they say after their first visit, they really feel the love among the people, see? And that's what it needs to be. What did Jesus say? Love one another. How? As I love you, and all men will know that you are mine. See, now that's a nice tall order to measure up to, is it not? Yes, indeed. So that's what that means. And in this way, we know that we are of the truth. Because you know the truth, you love the truth, you live by the truth. And shall assure our hearts before him, you have boldness and confidence in God. And we're going to find something else here in just a little bit that's important for you to understand. Verse 20, if our hearts condemn us, and how do our hearts condemn us? Because of sin and because of guilt. A lot of people have guilt. They shouldn't have guilt. Go repent of the guilt. Get rid of the guilt. If you have guilt, ask yourself, is it my fault? No. Well, then why do you have guilt? Did you do it? No. But I have guilt. That's the big G. See? Repent of that. The big B is bitterness. The big R is resentment. Okay? All of those things are emotional issues that take away from loving one another. Take away from loving each other as husband and wife. See? All of those things are important to understand and realize, see? Those condemn our hearts. And we don't feel secure. And we don't feel loving. Now notice that if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. So get on your knees and go repent. Go ask God to forgive you. You know? Do it now. Don't wait until you're further down the road, and then as some people have done, they finally do it just before they die. Do it now, not then. It's good people do it before they die. That's true. But why wait? You know what the story is? Try it, you like it, you know. See? That's what God wants. See? Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. Faith, confidence, boldness, truth, love, hope, all of those things are the result of the Spirit of God, you see. Now notice what happens then. And whatever we may ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and practice those things that are pleasing in his sight. Can you please God? Yes, you can. Shows us exactly how right here. You can please God. Don't go around with a guilty conscience. Don't let things in the past haunt you. Don't let hang-ups stay in your mind. Get rid of them. See? What he's talking about here. We need our prayers answered. Every one of them according to the will of God, right? Yes. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and practice those things that are pleasing in his sight. You can please God. You keep the Sabbath like you're keeping it here today, you're pleasing to God. How many people, if God would send one of the seven spirits around the world and say, okay, give me a total of all those keeping the Sabbath, you know. Act like a computer and here would come up the total, see. All right. Then give me the grade of how they love each other. Ooh. Might be a little different, see. Okay. See, but you have confidence that way. Now notice. And this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another exactly as he gave commandment to us. That's what God wants. Now, for a lot of us, that's difficult. If you've come from circumstances that are unloving, how do you learn to love? By the word of God, by loving God, by what you do. How do you learn to love other people? Number one, by getting to know them. Number two, don't judge them in your mind just because you see them and they don't conform to a figure of your mind that you think they should. See? Don't do that. Accept everyone for what they are. Let God do the changing from within. That's how we love one another. See? Verse 24, and the one who keeps his commandments is dwelling in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he's dwelling in us, by the Spirit which he has given to us. See? And you know you have the Spirit of God. And you're led of the Spirit of God. And God gives you the truth of his word because his word is what? Spirit and life. And in this book and in this Bible alone, not the one that's translated here, but in the word of God as originally given in the original language, is where we learn to love. And it goes right back to the very first chapter. What is my relationship with God every day? What is it? Do I pray? Do I study? Do I yield to God? And think about the foolishness that comes up. Well, I didn't have time to study today. Well, God had time to love you today, didn't he? Hey? Yes, he did. Okay. Now, let's come down here to chapter 4. Here's some things. Notice, he goes along. Here's a pattern in the Bible that you will see. And this has to be a pattern by anyone who is speaking, if they're going to speak the way that God wants them to speak, which is this. There is first encouragement and inspiration to open your mind to what God has to say. Then there may be some correction from the Word of God, which will come next. And if you in your study let that Word of God correct you, you have the easiest form of correction possible between you and God. Now, the next form of correction that is difficult is between you and someone else, okay? Then the next form of correction, which if there is inspiration given, will be very rare indeed, and that is from those who are teaching you. But they need to be very careful how they do it, because too many times brethren have been verbally beat up and kicked out of the door by the correction that has come, you see. Because the best way to overcome is be inspired to overcome. You choose to do it, you see. Then the next correction that comes will be God intervening in your life to test you. Then the next form of correction will come will be some probably very difficult trial. Now remember, though, it'll all work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So it fits within the whole scheme of what God is doing and God's love for us, because he doesn't want us to be sinful. He doesn't want us to be carnal. He doesn't want us to be living in the world, lusting like the world and doing all of those things, you see. Okay? He wants us to grow in love. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 4 concerning other spirits and false prophets. 1 John 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than the one who is in the world. Never, never be terrified, because there is Satan and the demons. Doesn't mean you get involved with them, but never be afraid, because you can rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ and tell them to leave, and they must obey. So never be terrified, okay? Because you have Christ in you, and he's greater than what the world has out there with them. They are of the world. Because of this, they speak of the world, and the world listens to them. You just saw all of that with the election, right? Did they reduce the debt yet? No. We are of God. Now, do you know that? You know, you are of God, because you have his spirit. The one who knows God listens to us. The one who is not of God does not listen to us. By this means, we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of deception. Boy, we've seen that on full display here in the last few years, haven't we? Yes, indeed. Then notice how he follows up. See, now here's a little bit of correction presented in the right way. See? Beloved, we should love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been begotten by God and knows God. That is, if you're loving in a godly manner. See? The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. I remember watching a special. You can tell what channels I watch. This was on the, I forget if it was History Channel or National Geographic. And it was a special on incorrigible lifers in prison. And I just watched this one interview with this man where he said, I have no love. I do not care for anyone. And if they let me out of here, I will kill again. I sat there and I thought, no wonder God said that if they do something worthy of death, execute them. See? I wonder how much it costs a year just to keep them alive. They're in prison, you know. See, but maybe some of these guys are going to be let out when the country goes bankrupt. So we need to pray for a lot of protection and God's angels, see. But I thought it was really just, I'd never heard it so bluntly and coldly and calculatingly said, I have no love for anyone, and I, if I get out of here, will kill again. So brethren, see, wonder what this guy's going to do in the second resurrection. Because what does it say? Every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. And every word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven them, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall never be forgiven, because you're rejecting God the Father. See? He's going to be resurrected. New body, new mind. Wonder what the world's going to be like when all those people are resurrected. You know, we're going to see that. We're going to have to help them. We're going to have to teach them. There are going to be people like that who have lived that way. There's going to be every evil and mean thing that has ever happened to any people in the world. They're going to be resurrected in the second resurrection to be given their first opportunity for salvation. Now think of that. So if you ever want to straighten out the world, brethren, think of how important attaining to the kingdom of God is. We are going to participate in the greatest rehabilitation program that is so mind-boggling we can't even contemplate it in its right perspective. We can only kind of get a little glimmer. Ooh, kind of like a little flash in the mind for a second. Yes, okay. Hey, beloved, we should love one another because love is from God. It comes from His Spirit. And everyone who loves has been begotten by God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this way, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. See? That's why God did what He did. I mean, and you stop and think for just a minute. What God did in becoming God manifested in the flesh as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and what He gave up to do that for all of mankind, we have sacrificed nothing, right? That's why love is so important, because love is the greatest. See? That's why in these days we are living in, this is what we need to focus on. This is what we need to keep our minds on. Oh, yes, we need to understand about prophecy. But hey, prophecies are going to pass away. Isn't that correct? Yes. So the question really needs to be, how is your love to God, God's love to you, and your love to each other as brethren, see? In this act is the love. Now that's what it is in the Greek. The love, meaning the highest pinnacle of love. Not that we loved God, rather that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Not an amazing thing? Before we were even born, and the first words out of Jesus' mouth when He was hung up there on the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That's really something, see? That is spiritual strength, brother, and that is the love of God. With the love of God, you have spiritual strength. It is not an emotional, mamby-pamby, huggy-wuggy, fuzzy-wuzzy feeling. See? You know, it's not. Okay. All right. Now keep this in mind, so that we could come to Him and have our sins forgiven. And think of it. The worst sins in the world, short of the unpardonable sin, will be forgiven upon repentance. That's why God called Saul to be the Apostle Paul. Because he said, "I was a wantonly violent man and was persecuting the church and agreeing to the death of the brethren and bringing them in chains." So God wanted to demonstrate that His love is so great and so powerful that He could convert this man by knocking him off his feet on the way to Damascus and appear to him in vision and speak to him and say, "Saul, it's hard to kick against the pricks." What did Saul answer back? "Lord, what do you want me to do?" He said, "This is Jesus whom you are persecuting." Instantaneous change, right? And He did that as a pattern for all of us in the New Testament church and as a pattern that we could see would be applicable to the second resurrection for all those people. And think of all, just take and consider all the wars that are currently going on, because they're more than just in Iraq and in Afghanistan, it's Darfur and, you know, different places of bans and shooting and looting and killing, and down in Mexico with the drug wars and killing one another, people just wantonly killing and things like that. And you think, oh, why is the world this way? Well, it's because God's not here and the kingdom of God is not here. Then you need to think, hey, we're going to have the opportunity to change that. Not now in the flesh. Now's not the time to do it. After we're resurrected, you see. We can change that. And just think what a tremendous thing it's going to be when God fulfills his promise that he says, I will put a new spirit within you and a new heart within you, and take away your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh so that you can repent. See, that's going to be fantastic, brother. Now, notice what this is to do for us. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also are duty-bound to love one another. Hey, there it is. No one has seen God at any time, yet if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his own love is perfected. Perfected. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tests. We're going to have to overcome the hang-ups and difficulties, you see. But it will be perfected. By this standard, we know that we're dwelling in him and he is dwelling in us because of his Spirit, which he has given to us. That's why the Spirit is so important, see. The Holy Spirit will give you the strength to overcome, will give you all of the spiritual qualities of love, of hope, of faith, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, of meekness. All of that comes with the Holy Spirit of God. And exercising that Spirit of God to serve and love the brethren and to serve and love God and to keep our eyes on what God has for us. Then he says concerning the apostles, and we have seen for ourselves and bear witness that the Father sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. That is, confesses in truth because they have the Spirit of God. And we know and have believed the love that God has toward us. God is love. And the one who is dwelling in love is dwelling in God and God in him. Listen, these words are so important. It's time that we know and learn these words and begin to live them, begin to apply them in the way that God wants, because dark days are coming when this will be hard to do. See? And by this spiritual indwelling, the love of God is perfected within us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because even as he is, so are we in this world. Now, we'll finish in the last two verses here. There is no fear in the love of God. Though we face fearful times, there is no fear in the love of God. Rather, perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. And the one who fears has not been made perfect in the love of God. We love him because he loved us first. So, brethren, that's why we're here. That's what we need to look to today. This needs to be our life, where we're going, what we're doing. And I'm happy to see the love that is here, and happy to see that everything is in good hands. Not all state, but God's hands. Okay. And Lawrence serving the brethren, he prays for you. He's driven many miles to see you, to visit you, to anoint you. All of that's because of the love of God. Okay? So love him. Love his wife. Love each other. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.